This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, October 2nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the latest in the ongoing fight over budget cuts in Springfield. We'll also get a forecast from Ed Kieser coming up. First, a look at today's news. Urbana High School will face a dual challenge this year in boosting student achievement, rebounding from failing to make federal standards last year, and working toward even tougher standards this year. Superintendent Preston Williams says the high school students have shown some progress in test results that are required under the No Child Left Behind Act, but he says the high school needs to improve its reading and math scores, and that means steering students toward mainstream classrooms and removing remedial courses.
Or actually all of our remedial courses, to make sure that students are getting the opportunity to learn at the level that they need to learn, the materials that they need to have, along with the support that we have both before and after school through some grant initiatives that we have.
The state determines adequate yearly progress in high schools through the Prairie State Achievement Exam and the ACT, which all Illinois high school students are now required to take. Williams says yearly test results were more positive for younger Urbana students, though. He says the middle school came close to reaching adequate yearly progress last year, and all elementary schools reached that goal. Teachers and other workers in the Monticello School District could be voting soon on a new contract. Monticello Education Association President Kristen McMullen says negotiators working with a federal mediator last night reached a tentative agreement on a new contract for about 150 teachers, custodians, and cooks. McMullen says an agreement came after about 3 or 4 hours of bargaining.
I would say that both the board and the MEA went into the negotiations with a positive outlook. We were both very hopeful we could reach an agreement, and I think we're satisfied that we have reached an agreement that hopefully the members of the MEA will be able to discuss and approve in the near future.
Last night's breakthrough comes less than a week after members of the Monticello Education Association voted to file an intent to strike notice. Workers in the district have been without a contract since July 1st. McMullen says the union will schedule a meeting soon so members can review and vote on that tentative contract. A Champaign County Sheriff's Lieutenant says they hope to have identification of a body found near Sadorus sometime today. Volunteer searchers found the body south of the small Champaign County town on Sunday. They've been looking for Naomi Arnett, the 36-year-old mother of seven who's not been seen since May. Lieutenant Ed Ogle says a task force has been put together to work on identifying the remains, with experts from the FBI, the Illinois Crime Scene Service, State Police, and the Champaign County Coroner's Office. A Planned Parenthood clinic in the Chicago suburb of Aurora is to open today. Yesterday, Mayor Tom Weisner gave the go-ahead to the opening, despite his belief that Planned Parenthood was less than forthcoming when it used a subsidiary to build the clinic. Anti-abortion protesters accused Planned Parenthood of deceiving officials into granting building permits. Weisner says lawyers found no legal basis to deny an occupancy permit. But with one lawsuit already filed by anti-abortion activists and another one promised, the case is likely to stay active in the courts. Danville's Mayor Scott Eisenhower says he has the record and backing to pursue a run in the state legislature. He's looking for the Republican nomination in the 104th District House seat that's being vacated next year by Bill Black. Eisenhower says he decided to run for office after Black announced his retirement and through encouragement from friends and supporters. Eisenhower's primary opponent will be Danville Alderman and Vice Mayor Terry Baldwin. Eisenhower says their campaigns won't impact how city government operates or the way he runs for office.
I consider elections to be job interviews, and you do not go into a job interview and sit down in front of your potential bosses and try to win that job by downgrading or downplaying the other candidates who may be applying for that same job. I want to convince people that I'm the right person based upon my beliefs, based upon my record, and based upon what I think is in the best interest of the 104th.
Eisenhower's plans to run have some speculating that Representative Black will try to swap places with him. The 22-year veteran of the legislature says he has no current plans to pursue the office of Danville mayor, but notes he has some time to think about it. The next election isn't for about 16 months. Black says once he's retired, he does want some time to relax with his family and travel, but expects to be more involved in some capacity down the line.
Do I have plans right now to run for the mayor of Danville? No, I do not. I'm not saying I won't. I'm certainly not saying I will. I like public service, but I may be interested in a county office or just getting reactivated in civic affairs in my hometown. I don't expect to just sit in a rocking chair and rock away on my patio.
Black says if he does pursue public office after his retirement from the legislature, he wants to stay closer to home, noting he's tired of the two-hour drive to Springfield. A veteran Urbana firefighter has officially been appointed the city's new fire chief. The city council voted to appoint Michael Dilley as the new chief. He succeeds Rex Munt, who's taken a fire chief post in Iowa. Dilley's appointment was greeted by applause from a city council chamber that included several Urbana firefighters. An emotional Dilley referred to them as some of Urbana's bravest.
These guys are some of the best firefighters that I know. And they're extremely supportive, and they're a great bunch of people, and I'm proud of every one of them. And we're going to do our dead level best to make the citizens of Urbana and all of you very proud of us.
Michael Dilley was a Champaign County Sheriff's Deputy for 6 years before taking a job with the Urbana Fire Department nearly 25 years ago. He's been with the department ever since, the past 12 years as a division chief. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. If you thought arguments over the Illinois state budget were over, think again. After a record-setting overtime session, Governor Rob Blagojevich used his veto pen to chop $500 million in spending from the plan that lawmakers approved. The governor wants to use that money for expanding health care, but as Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford reports, House lawmakers are putting up a fight.
A month of hearings around the state wrapped up with another one on the Illinois House floor. It was an opportunity for those taking the financial hit to have their say. Advocates for veterans, senior citizens, children, domestic violence victims, and others let it be known how onerous the budget cuts are to them. Kathy Schimpf is director of the Williamson County Child Advocacy Center, which helps abused kids. Schimpf's agency had expected to receive $10,000, but the amount was vetoed out of the budget.
It would have been significant to the 12-year-old girl whose stepfather turns her dreams into nightmares every night. The 9-year-old boy who must learn that the man who molested him is at fault, not him. How can anyone, legislators, citizens, believe that this small amount of money can be a pork project?
Similar testimony was heard throughout the day, most taking aim at Governor Blagojevich. Whether money was earmarked for equipment, staff, or other needs, those who spoke out against the governor's actions tried to make their case. Denise Myrick is with the Seed of Abraham Christian Fellowship Ministry. She says the governor's cuts will especially hurt minorities in urban areas who rely on services.
These cuts are affecting our community. I think that the governor has lost concept of what he spoke about when he was running for election, when he came to the black communities, into our churches, talking about he understood our plight. He apparently does not understand our plight when most of these budget cuts cut urban communities.
The hearings are also the latest salvo in a feud between the Democratic governor and Democratic House Speaker Mike Madigan. The two have been unable to work together and are barely on speaking terms. After months negotiating on a budget that passed both the House and Senate, Blagojevich's cuts smack solely of political retribution. Madigan's budget expert John Lauder pointed out several instances in which the governor appeared to go out of his way to punish certain lawmakers.
An analysis of the projects that were eliminated indicate that nearly all House Democratic and all Senate Republican projects were cut. However, all Senate Democrat projects were spared, and all House Republican projects were spared. Also, the projects of the members of JCAR, the panel that will approve or reject his health care plan, were also spared.
Governor Blagojevich was never asked to testify at the hearing and instead attended a rally for the Cubs baseball team in Chicago. His spokesperson, Justin DeYoung, says health care remains the governor's top priority.
The hearings that have been hosted by Speaker Madigan around the state have been really a gross exaggeration and mischaracterization of the governor's vetoes, and really only served to distract the public from the fact that Speaker Madigan and the House didn't include enough revenues to meet the state's health care and education needs.
DeYoung says the governor is interested in funding some of the needs brought up during the hearings and would be willing to work with lawmakers on finding new revenue to pay for them outside of raising taxes. But few expect much cooperation moving forward. Madigan dared the governor to make budget cuts, and most were surprised when Blagojevich took the bait. Not only did he carve out money for some of the neediest in society, he called it pork. The House is expected to consider overriding the governor's vetoes, but Blagojevich's ally, Senate President Emil Jones, says he won't go along with it. Jones earlier cut a deal with other legislative leaders to oppose any gubernatorial budget cuts, but has apparently gone back on that agreement. Unless both chambers vote to put the money back in, the governor's cuts will stand. The now long-running soap opera at the state capitol has gone beyond petty bickering and political games designed to agitate the other side. The series of hearings on the budget cuts show how this feud is beginning to impact those outside the halls of government, making it more difficult for those trying to improve their local communities and for those who depend on those services. Until those elected to do the people's work get serious about their jobs, these people and programs will remain caught in the middle. I'm Sean Crawford.
Meteorologist Ed Kieser's forecast for the next couple days is sort of a mixed bag depending on where in the state you're living. In northwest and west central Illinois for today, there's partial sunshine in the forecast with scattered showers and thunderstorms in the late afternoon. Elsewhere, mostly sunny after some early patchy fog, highs from 78 in northeast Indiana to 88 in southwest Illinois. For tonight, in northern and western Illinois, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere in Illinois and in northern and western Indiana, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms arriving after midnight. And lows ranging from around 50 in far northwest Illinois to 66 in the far south. For tomorrow, in northwest and west central Illinois, partly to mostly sunny. In northeast and central Illinois, as well as northwest Indiana, mostly cloudy with scattered showers early, then becoming partly to mostly sunny. In the south, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms lingering, and highs tomorrow ranging from 73 in the north to 83 in far southern Indiana. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, October 2nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.